I'm going to try to keep my composure, okay? Oh, wow. Okay. 2016, May, 22-year-old Colin Hendricks, single, skinny, kind of, yeah, thank you. Thank you, preacher. Kind of skinny. Overwhelmed. And overwhelmed by a lot of things. But overwhelmed by the grace shown by choir members, by teenagers' parents, Pastor David, overwhelmed. Stand here today. Overwhelmed by the same people and the goodness of God. Psalm 33. Let's get into something that I don't have to think of. Psalm 33. It's a psalm of praise and why we should praise Him. So let's stand in honor and respect to God's word. This is going to be good, I promise, because the Lord's in it, but we just got to get through it, okay? So we're going to get through this right here, this first little bit. Young and dumb. That's what I was back in the day. A little older, still young, and very dumb. Dumber than I realized back then. Psalm 33, verse number 1, okay? Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto Him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Let's pray and let's get into it. Father, help me tonight. Help me to stay composed. Help me to get a message across. Lord, help me to challenge everyone, encourage everyone through your strength and your power. I can't do it on my own. I don't want to be a distraction tonight. I just want to say what you want me to say in the way you want me to say it, and ask that you help me in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever seen a little kid do this right here? You can't see me. You can't see me. Now time out. Can you see me? Okay. Some of y'all need glasses if you can't see me when I'm doing this, okay? You can't see me. Hadley's learned to do that. I don't know who she learned it from, but she does it sometimes. And you know, sometimes when we're Christians, we can kind of do that with the Lord, right? We can say, God, you can't see me. And Christians shouldn't be doing that. The psalm is a call for the righteous to continue to praise God. But why praise Him? Look at verse number 1. We're going to work through these really quick and then get to some more stuff, okay? So why praise God? Verse number 1, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. Why? For praise is comely for the upright. Praise is a beautiful thing for someone that's righteous and upright. A beautiful thing. Verse 2, look at that, we're moving. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto Him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. It's biblical, people. Loud noise. Why? Why should we do this skillfully and loud, a new song? Why should we sing? Why should we do everything that we can to praise Him? Use whatever we can to praise Him. Why? For the word of the Lord is right. And all of His works are done in truth. So, His word is right. It's perfect, right? We know that. It has no contradictions. It has no issues. The word of God is perfect. And then that second part of that verse, here's what it says. The word of the Lord is right, and His works match what He says. I use this illustration in the 2 o'clock service. If I told you I could dunk, which I can't, but if I said I can throw it down, and we go out to the hoop out there, and you give me a ball, and I go and I jump up, and I don't dunk it, probably would get rim checked and it would hurt. What would you say? His word's not right, and His actions don't match what He said. But God, no matter what, no matter what, His word is right. His character, His acts, all match what His word says. Okay, that's why we should praise Him. Because it's a beautiful thing for the upright to praise Him. Because His word is right, and because everything He does matches what He says He'll do. All right. He loveth righteousness and judgment. Well, He's holy, so He loves holiness. Here's the part. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. So when I read this week, and the Lord just spoke to me, I started to think. When you read the Bible, you should think sometimes. And my brain starts to work through things. And I said, where is this goodness? Well, it's everywhere because it fills the earth, right? Okay, then what is it? What is His goodness? Because sometimes, come on, it doesn't feel like there's any good. It feels like everything's hard. Everything's hard. There's no good. So, the way my brain works, started writing things down that weren't good because I'm a negative man. Bad news, health problems, strained relationships, injustices, murder, racism, hatred, bullies, divorce, rape, hard times, death, stress, war, conflict, strife, too much to do, too little time. That was Colin Hendricks. Exhaustion, inconsiderate people, rudeness, meanness, struggles, sin, sin, sin. And then for the teenagers, I wrote the stomach bug. For everybody else, COVID. For the teenagers, the flu, strep throat. And I said, test at school. Those are the worst. School, that's the worst. A bad teacher, a mean classmate. What about this? A bad boss, a mean coworker, a critical coach, a critical manager, a harsh principal, a harsh boss, misunderstandings, miscommunication. I hate miscommunication. That's not good. Expectations not being met, failed plans, car accidents, sin, sin, sin. I wrote it 6 times because sin's no good, right? And another Colin Hendricks, selfishness. So where's the good in all that? That list that takes up this whole piece of paper took me about 5.5 minutes. I'm a negative man. Well, I said this in the youth department. I'm just going to be as candid as I was in the youth department. Is that okay? Okay. I'm a little embarrassed to preach this, and especially because Pastor was in Sunday school, but now I'm in front of all of you. So I'm going to give a little bit of a testimony of the last month or so of my life from my perspective. Transitions are hard. Especially when you don't get to rip the Band-Aid off as fast as you want. But it's slow. October 10th was a long time ago when we told everybody we were going to go to the mission field. And it felt like when we did that, it was like half the Band-Aid. But then I realized it wasn't a Band-Aid at all. It was duct tape all the way down my arm. And we only pulled like 1/4 inch at that point. And so we told everybody in October. Everybody had tons of questions. It was fun. It was new. Holidays hit. You know how holidays are. We get busy around here. We see each other, but we're still like, I'm going to eat my leftover turkey. See you later. January. Okay. 2022. A lot of things are changing in 2022. And so we start getting ready for our trip. Start getting things going. And it's just busy. Still doing all my responsibilities here. Trying to get ready for a 6-week trip with 2 kids. Just a lot of things. And I don't want to sound like I'm whining because I've done a lot of whining. We're going to get there, okay? Oh, I forgot to start the sermon off this way like I did in the youth department. You're going to realize that this youth pastor is a selfish, arrogant jerk, okay? You're going to realize that tonight. And so all of this stuff has just been funneling down to this week, okay? It's all been funneling down and funneling down and funneling down. And stress has began to build. Responsibilities have not stacked up, but just been the same and come some more. So this week, family drama. Don't you love it? Family drama. People questioning things. People, I'll say it, trying to tell me what to do. Family, okay? I'm a grown man. I say this all the time. I own a house. I have two dogs. No, I have two kids. Bo is more like, never mind. So I have two kids and I have a dog I don't want. As of this afternoon, I don't have that dog anymore, but I had a dog that I don't want. I have a mortgage that I pay. I used to have a car payment. I'm a grown man. Don't tell me what to do. Unless you're my boss or my boss be, don't tell me what to do. Okay? That's why I call him boss B. Sorry. Don't tell me what to do. Stop making my wife cry. Stop drilling my wife with questions. This isn't in here, okay? I'm just giving you my testimony. It's all been funneling down to this week. All of it. I'm going to say it. I don't care. I heard this. God doesn't work this fast, Colin. No. I'm not trying to be mean-spirited. I'm not. I'm just being real tonight. And it wasn't even said to me. I heard it through the vine. But my wonderful wife, who's gracious and kind, she took a lot of heat. Don't mess with my wife. So then Monday. Let's just go to Monday, and we'll start there. So Monday happened. I don't remember Monday at all. Tuesday happened. We had a quick staff meeting, and we decided we're going to do a mission support team meal, and we're going to have a budget, and me and Brother David are supposed to work on it, okay? Listen, I'm going to be real tonight, okay? It's going to sound bad because I'm bad, okay? I'm just being for real. And so we start working on this thing, and David's going out of town, and I'm about to leave. They're about to go to Washington. Everyone's got 100 things going because we're trying to just get everything done, right? So stress is building, trying to get all this. I'm even reading government websites. I'm sick of government websites. You hit one link, it takes you here. You hit the next link, it takes you back to that same page. It's dumb. And the U.S. and the U.K., they're the same. They're dumb, okay? It's a dumb website, and I'm mad about it. So I'm clicking all these buttons. I'm trying to read this, and then we're trying to get this budget thing ready. I'm making all these calls to missionaries because I've got to get them on the phone. They're on deputation. I'm trying to get meetings set up. I'm trying to get all of these things for Missions Revival, and I'm trying to get it all done, and I'm just doing it, and I'm going, and I'm, like, stressed to the max, okay? Brother David's leaving. Me and Brother David are like brothers, okay? That means we butt heads like brothers. But we get over it quick. And so, I'm just going to tell a story, okay, Brother David? So I'm already done with Brother David. I'm tired of him. I'm like, I know Brother David. We've worked together 6 years. I'm like, he's like my brother, so I'm just going to say it. He's getting on my nerves, okay? We've got this project from Pastor we have to work on, and this is me being just completely transparent. I'm sweaty and my face is red. I can feel it. But I'm like, you are not helping me. And so I call him on the phone. So we're on the phone and I'm talking, and I talk for like 3 or 4 minutes, and I look down. He hung up on me. I'm on the phone and I'm like, and so I said at the end, what do you think? I know we're from office to office, but we're already a little upset with each other, so phone call's better. And I look down, and he's not on the phone. I hung up the phone, I didn't do the project, and I just started working on some other stuff that I needed to get done, okay? I'm upset. So then I start working through some missionary stuff, not me, but missionaries we support, and I have a handful of them that I passed on to pastor, and I said, hey, here's the situation with this one, this one, this one, this one. And one of them kind of made me mad because he came off the field, and I had to read like five letters, and he didn't even make it clear that he was coming off the field. So the dude, I'm telling you, I'm being transparent, okay? I'm like, come on, bro, communicate. So I pass that email to pastor. I pass all that to him. I'm making lists of missionaries and I'm making lists of responsibilities. Pass it to pastor. I think of another one. Pass it to pastor. Carl helps me think of a couple other ones. So I pass it to pastor. So I'm just trying to make sure everything's covered. So then I get back to this budget thing. So I start working on it. Me and Brother Dave had another conversation. At this point, I'm mad. I'm just upset. And then remember, I'm a selfish, arrogant jerk, okay? And so we're working through this thing and we're trying to get it done. And I'm just like, dude, what in the world? And he goes off and he heads out of town because he had to go out of town. So I'm trying to get this done and I do it all. And I call him. This is Saturday now. Now, 2 weeks ago, I had the stomach bug and my kids were sick. My wife was sick. Then my wife got sick again. Then my kids got sick again. We haven't been healthy. It's just been dumb. Everything's been hard. Okay. And so then we get to this week. I'm going out of order because I'm just not remembering it all, but that's okay. And we get to this week and it's Saturday. And I got to get this, the booklet that we gave to the mission support team done. And so I'm typing it up. Brother David designed a bunch of it. He did a lot of work on it as well, but I didn't think he did. Okay. And so I go and I'm trying to get it done. I go to pastor. I'm like, hey pastor, this is what we have. Pastor says, it wasn't what I was thinking or what I wanted. Now, if you know me, which most of you do, you can read exactly what's going on in here, right here. Doesn't matter. It does not matter what it is. Doesn't matter what situation. It does not matter. What's going on in here is happening here. So I'm standing there in pastor's office. He's sitting down and we're talking about this and my face drops. I feel like Eeyore. I'm like, man, and David's out of town. He's busy. And I'm whining, okay? And I tell pastor, can I just be brutally honest? And pastor says, yeah, you can. And I whine some more. And I complained. And I walk out of his office dejected, upset, more stressed out. My parents are in town. I'm trying to pack these bags. My wife is cleaning the house. And I go back to my office. So I go to my office, okay? I'm going to illustrate this. Can everybody see me right here? Is that all right? I'm in my office. I'm working on this thing. I'm trying to do exactly what Pastor wants. I'm on the phone with Brother David. Me and Brother David are talking. And sometimes we can be intense with each other because we're like brothers, okay? So I'm sitting here in my office. And I'm sitting in my chair. And I just lean back. And I'm on the phone with Brother David. But I'm like doing this right here. You know, have you ever done that? Or you're just kind of thinking and you're listening on the phone and you're like, yeah, sure, sure, okay. And you're like, yeah, we can do that. You know, you're talking, but you're kind of annoyed at the same time because you're unspiritual like me. And so I'm sitting there and pastor walks in and he stands in the doorway. My hair look good? He stands in the doorway and he goes, Colin, he doesn't know I'm on the phone. Embrace it. I'm like, I look at him, I'm like, you always know. I'm standing there and I'm listening to him and he's like, just embrace it. This is the last Saturday that you'll ever have like this right here. It's the last day you'll heat the baptistry. And I just started thinking through my responsibilities. I'm like, well, it's going to be the last time I heat the baptistry, probably clean the back office area. It's going to be the last of a lot of things today. And pastor doesn't realize that me and David are on the phone. And he's like, hey, I need you to talk to David. I'm like, hey, he's on the phone. So I put it on speaker. Now, you got to remember, Carl, David, pastor, best friends in the world. We've worked together long enough. It's just how it is. And so we're sitting there and we're talking and we're having a conversation. And we all just start busting a gut about something. I don't even remember. But it's just like, Colin, embrace it. Colin, do this. And we just have this good conversation. And the Lord was like, hey, Colin, I'm good. And I knew I was going to preach this. And I knew that verse and then the phrase, the earth is full of goodness of the Lord. And so pastor left. I got off the phone with David. And I sat in my office And I just thought, just not very long, just thinking about Bethany Baptist Church, thinking about how good he's been to me and how I've been like this. God, I don't see the goodness. Just because my eyes are covered doesn't mean it's not there, right? God, I'm not seeing the goodness. I'm not seeing what you have here. It's frustrating. I'm annoyed. And I am just done with this refining time. And pastor comes in my office and he's talking to us. And we just bust a gut. And the Lord's like, you know what I mean? And so, today was my last choir practice. My last time leading songs as the music director. It was my last time heating that baptistry. Want to hear a miracle about the baptistry one time? When Brother Fane got baptized, one of the heaters was not working. So I took it apart, and it needed an O-ring. This is Sunday morning. It needed an O-ring, and I said, God, I need a miracle. Because Brother Fane's going to get dunked, and he's going to move all that water, and it needs to be warm. So I come up here, and I'm laying out service orders. If I'm lying, I'm dying. There's an O-ring right here. Don't know why. I've never seen another O-ring there. Why would there be an O-ring on this random nightstand? This is just the goodness, okay? The goodness of the Lord. And I take that O-ring and I said, Lord, I'm almost 100% positive this is going to fit. That O-ring is there to this day. It's in there. Don't know where it came from. Brother Carl, if you laid an O-ring right there, thank you, sir. That was wild. And I'm just thinking through these things. Last time I'm going to heat the baptistry. Probably the last time that I'm going to lock this building up tonight and kick the Sanders out. It's going to be... Ask him about it. I do it. That's not for show. This is going to be the last time that someone texts me and says, hey, the special's got to be canceled. The last time that I'm talking to Brother Ross throughout the week, hey, here's the songs, here's this, here's that, here's what we need in the choir folders, here's what we don't need in the choir folders. Brother Jeff is praising the Lord because it's the last choir practice with Colin Hendricks, who doesn't know anything about music, but Brother Jeff just deals with it. And I said, Brother Jeff, I don't like that. I want you to change it. And he says, I don't, what do you want changed? I said, I don't know, just do it. Ask the choir, I do it all the time. It's the last time that it'll be a busy Sunday morning where I tell Carl, Carl, I don't really got a lot going on this morning. And then we get a text, come to the two-story. Great. And then we go and we do what we needed to do in the two-story. It's a lot of last, right? Gave my dog away today. That wasn't fun. But it was okay, because I didn't really like him very much sometimes. There's a lot of last today. It's all been filtering down to this. And it's felt like I just... Rip the band-aid. Slow, slow, slow. Everything's just been so slow, but also so fast all at the same time. And it's felt so hard. I mean, literally, I've looked at my wife and I say, why is everything hard right now? Why? Why is everything hard? Nothing is going smooth. Two times in my time of being the music director here has the Sunday morning special canceled on Sunday morning. Twice. Happened last week. Everything is hard. Everything. It's just been hard. And I've whined and I've complained and I've said, God, what are you doing? Why is it hard? Why is everything happening this way? And I've probably been a horrible person to live with. I'm just calling it like I see it. I've probably been a horrible person to live with and work with because I have not recognized the goodness and the grace of God for a while. I'm just going to be really honest with you tonight. And my eyes have been covered and I've said, God, this is hard. And I don't understand why you're doing this. And I don't understand why you're working this way. Why can't we get healthy? I hate the stomach bug and I'm mad at Keegan about it. And all of these different things. Why? Why is this continuing to happen? And Pastor came in my office, me, him, and David, had a good old chuckle. And the Lord said, "Hey, Colin, God's good. No, my earth is full of my goodness. Start looking around." So when we get to England, I'm going to hurry, preacher. When we get to England, we're going to land in London, and there's someone going to meet us with a car seat, meet us with a stroller. He's going to take us around London, show us how to get on and off the tube. This is a city of 14 million people, okay? So it's a little bit different than Lubbock. Then we're going to go back over to Plymouth, and he's already told me we're going to go to a place called Codfather's for fish and chips, and we're going to sit where the Mayflower took off. We're going to go through a Sunday with him, and then we're going to go to a missionary retreat, and we're going to just try to be a blessing. We're going to work with the teenagers. We're probably going to do some nursery. We're going to do some things like that. And while we're on that retreat, we're going to just be able to see another big city, Manchester, 3-4 million people. But we're also just going to have the blessings of God. I mean, they're already all laid out. I told the teens, we're going to go to a mall that's owned by some guy from the Middle East that owns a lot of oil. The floor, marble all the way throughout. They have like a 50-foot statue fountain thing that's made out of jade and granite. Columns with gold all over the place. There's a Taco Bell. Son. And then we're going to go to another place in Carlisle, England with the Cashners, and we're going to spend some time with them. And we're going to get to see different ministries. And we're going to go all throughout this. And God, over and over and over again, has made these plans work out, number one. Now, when we get there, it may change, and I'm just going to have to realize. You know what I mean? But we're going to go, and God's taking care of our first 2 weeks. The church isn't even catching the price for that. The first whole 2 weeks. We're not paying for it. Bethany Baptist Church isn't paying for it. Other people. And then we're going to go to the Cashners, and we're going to have time with them, and they're going to put us up in their home. We don't have to pay to live in their room. I hope not. And if they do, I guess we'll just give it to them and be like, "This is weird, but okay, you know?" And then we're going to go down and we're going to spend some time in London, and we're really just going to be asking the Lord to show us exactly what He wants from us. And we're going to go back and we're going to spend some time with a missionary, Brother Gossmeyer, and then we're going to meet and we're going to be back in London for a little bit longer. But I can't tell you how many prayers have been answered. God got us healthy. I mean, I'm here, you know. I mean, He just answered so many. My home church sent us a check. I wasn't expecting it at all. Someone dropped money in my lap last week. I've had people hand me money this week. And when I said we were going to sell stuff, we're not selling everything in our house. You know what I mean? We're just selling all our extra junk in our closets. And God's been like, another man's junk. Someone else's treasure. And we're just selling it. And God's just like, here's some more money. Here's some more money. Here's some more money. Here's some more money. And it's just like, money's not just the goodness, but that's one example. But then God's also like, "Hey, Colin, whenever you get over there, Brother Grissom's going to smoke you a brisket so you can have a little bit of a taste of home." No, I mean, that's just good. You know what I mean? And there's just so many different things that I can say. And it's been ridiculous because the people that I'm absolutely closest to see the absolute ugliest side of me on a regular basis because I'm denying, "God, your goodness isn't here. This is hard. There's nothing good that's going to come out of this. We know better than that." So then the question is, how about you? We're almost done. Do you see a music director leaving? And that's all you see? Do you see a youth pastor heading out? No, God. Nothing good is going to come out of this. I forgot to mention the toilets here. Half of them have broke this week. I'm like, what in the world are these people? Ladies, be easy on the toilets. Stop flushing them so hard. But then we blame Keegan because he's been using the girls' bathroom, so. there's just been so much random stuff. And it comes down to even just the random things like the toilets in this building. And we can all look and say, choir director, music director, congregations aren't going to be the same without Colin. It's not about me. But I'm just trying to think of where we're at. Why are they sick? Why did it have to happen right now? Why are they in the hospital? Why did this accident happen? Why am I making these grades? I mean, just over and over. Why is everything hard? And we can be like this. And forget. That was God's goodness. Have you ever smelled something you like to smell? Yeah? Aren't you thankful that God gave you good smells and not just nasty ones? That's goodness. Have you ever tasted something real yummy? That's God's goodness. He gave us something that tastes good. He didn't have to. We could be eating, I don't know, liver or haggis. You know what I mean? England joke. You're welcome. Come on now. What about, have you ever seen something that's beautiful? He could have made the world ugly. He gave us colors. Gave us water to drink. Dr. Pepper. So much. So much that we just take for granted. You know what I mean? It's His goodness. Talked about this with the teens this morning. You know what a gnat is? It's a bug that nobody likes. God's good enough to feed them. Flies? I've not met a person that likes flies. I just haven't. If you like them, good for you. But God feeds them. Fish in the sea. Nobody goes out there with like those little pellets or flakes that you feed your fish at your house and, okay, fish are fed for the week. Nope. God's goodness feeds them all. I don't know how it works. Gave us flowers. There's just so much. That even when everything in your life seems like it's hard, take a deep breath and realize that's the goodness and the grace of God in and out. Feel your heart. It's beating. That's God's goodness. There's just so much. So much. Here's the challenge and the encouragement. The challenge is this. Quit it. Just because you have your eyes covered and all you see and all you think you see is the negativity and nobody's thinking about you and nobody's considering what you're about to have to do and nobody is taking the time to talk to you about the things that you need to talk about and nobody is doing this and nobody is doing this for you and nobody's doing this for you and nobody's helping. Why is nobody helping me around this house? Why is nobody helping me at work? Stop it and go, okay, Lord. Don't be a selfish, arrogant jerk like me. Because God's good. And His earth is full of His goodness. Absolutely full. That's it. He's good. So the reminder tonight, remember God is good. Take a moment. Just because you got it covered, don't be silly. I don't see the goodness. Doesn't mean it's not there, friend. God is good.